Chuck Chad Technorama for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hygroscopic Margot veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Spurving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facet lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Oh, retroencabulator, you. Welcome back to Chuck Chat. If you're new to the show, welcome to Chuck Chat. I'm Chuck Tomasi, podcasting all the way from way up here, and that's Craig way down there.
Yeah, way down here. Keep your cheese up there.
And you keep whatever it is you keep.
Okay.
Well, we've had better startings than that.
Yeah, let's start over. Welcome to Technorama. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is...
Craig Stepp.
Coming up on tonight's show, Craig's experiences with IE7.
And Greg, Greg Holly joins us, and he talks about his Palm Tungsten 3 and how he uses it as a podcatching client.
Yep, and how we use our own PDAs. That's me, Chuck, and Craig over there.
And we'll do that shortly, right after these messages from our sponsor. Have you heard about GoToMeeting, the most affordable, secure, and easy-to-use web conferencing tool? Be sure to sign up for a TechPodcast.com Roundtable interactive event on August 13th and watch our demonstration of the coolest podcasting tips, tricks, and best practices presented as only the team at TechPodcast.com can while using GoToMeeting. Plus, as a special offer for TechPodcast.com network listeners, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code TechPodcast. Try GoToMeeting free now. See the show notes for details and sign up at TechPodcast.com for the special event. But now, the news.
That's right. You know, I saw an interesting, I think it's got made rounds, it's rounds a little bit, but even I saw it on the video from Phil Terone's Make blog. They had, not video, he had audio about it. It was at DEF CON, the Shmoo group had this handheld Wi-Fi gun. It's like a Wi-Fi detector.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that by chance?
No, I didn't.
It looks like they took a high-end slingshot. One that has the brace that pushes against the top of your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And they took off, of course, the slingshot part. And they've got a directional antenna on the front. And they've got a PDA. It's an IPAC with the cord and the whole works. And they can turn up the sensitivity on that thing. And whatever direction they've got it in, boom, they can pick up all of the access points. Or, I guess, anything acting as an access point.
Really?
Yeah. So I think the application that we're looking at was trying to use it in like a, somebody could use it in a business to detect rogue Wi-Fi.
I'm going to that page. You keep talking.
Okay. But I thought it would look really cool. And actually, it looks like a radar gun or something that a police officer would hold. Isn't that pretty cool?
So who's the Shmoo group?
I don't know. You know, they got several different groups out there showing different stuff.
Oh my gosh, it's got a pistol grip.
That's what I'm saying. It's got the like a high-end slingshot.
That is one geeky looking gadget. I gotta get me one.
Yeah, I know. All of a sudden they're going, whoa, I gotta build me one of those. That's pretty cool though, isn't it? They said that they can detect Wi-Fi access points from like a few hundred yards to maybe a few miles.
It's got an armrest because this thing's got so much weight on it.
Yeah, that's one. It's one of those slingshots, maybe.
Yeah, like a wrist rocket. Yeah, except those go. Those typically go underneath your arm. No, they go on top. They go on top.
I think you can probably get it either way. But yeah, I thought that looked pretty cool. And if you listen to Phil Tarun's Make blog, he talks. He interviews the guy, and they're talking about it. Said they didn't build as much for war driving as they did for the application where somebody can detect some rogue Wi-Fi.
Far out.
Isn't that cool?
No, you got something here about the weather service.
Yeah. I'm going to pull that page up as well. It looks like there was... I'm sorry, I didn't prepare for this one.
The headline reads, Bogus Homeland Alert Hits the Air.
Yeah, I think what happened is they were trying to put some weather reports out, and they messed up. And due to some Cold War era emergency broadcast system, they accidentally set off an alarm saying there was a nuclear problem in Florida.
As if Florida didn't have enough to worry about this hurricane season, some residents of the Sunshine State were alerted to a non-existent radiological emergency last Wednesday after the National Weather Service operator fat-fingered a routine test of the emergency alert system.
Oops.
The EAS, a 1997 replacement for the Cold War era emergency broadcast system, transmits emergency radio and text information to the public over the weather alert radios and by interrupting commercial television and radio broadcasts. Nice!
Could you imagine... sitting in your easy chair in your living room. What the?
I knew the Russians were fooling.
I kind of skimmed over this, and I thought it was interesting. That's why I threw it up there.
That could be scary. That's what that is.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Now, you have a follow-up to the blank keyboard. Was this the same keyboard we talked about?
I have a follow-up to our, basically, to our keyboard segment we were talking about.
Oh, okay, okay.
And this is the blank keyboard. It has no letters on the keyboard.
Was this one where you move the keys around? Oh, this one, yes. It's like they removed all the silk screening.
It looks like a stealth keyboard. There's no letters indicating what keys are what.
Now, honestly, would you have a hard time with that?
I know where the escape key's at. yeah, I could be okay for a little bit, but I'm a touch typer, but I still glance down to make sure I got my bearings.
Aren't you a true geek? Don't you stay up late typing in the dark?
I have, yes.
Then you should be a touch typist. You should know where everything is.
You should see how bad I spell in the dark, too.
I make more syntax errors in my code that way.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought I'd throw this in, out there. You know, it's a little expensive for not having any printing on it.
You think you'd save money?
Yeah, it's like $80. But it is available at ThinkGeek if anybody wants to go over there and give it a shot.
There are more odd keyboards in this world. Go.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
We have listener feedback. Hooray, hooray, ooh-yah, ooh-yah. I'm doing the chair dance thing.
Yay, and they rejoice. Yay, yay. Yay.
We have email, once again, from Yorga I'm having a hard time with his last name. Yorga, you got to send me an audio clip with this.
Schrowen? Is it Schrowen?
Schrowen.
Okay.
Yorga Schrowen. We'll go with that.
Apologies.
We were talking about VMware. I think we were talking about VMware quite a few times recently. And he offers up a nice alternative to VMware is QEMU. QEMU. I said that kind of fast, if you didn't get it. It isn't as powerful, but it works on the Mac, PowerPC, Windows, and Linux, and it's free.
Yeah, it can't be free.
Gonna have to Google that and find out a little bit more. Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, and when he mentioned that, of course, I went and looked at it. I've seen a link to it before. I haven't really read about it, but I went and checked it out. I also wanted to mention that Box. I think I'm spelling it right. I'm pronouncing it right.
As in B-O-X?
B-O-X. It sounds like that, but it's B-O-C-H-S.
Okay.
And it's also an emulator. It's a little more limited. I think it's mostly runs on Linux, but it runs like Windows 98 and up to NT4, and different versions of Linux, of course. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's a version 2.2, and it emulates a 46 Pentium Pro, and it has a list of states that it can actually run in. So, and see, and it runs Linux 95. I don't know who runs that anymore. DOS, Windows NT 4, and that's as far as they mention it. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All this and more can be yours for absolutely free.
Yay!
Or you can trade it in for what's behind door number two, where Carol Merrill is now standing. That's only funny if you're old enough to remember the Price is Right. No, not Price is Right.
Make a deal.
Oh, how about get a clue?
How are you? Well, you may be old enough to remember, but your memory's starting to go.
Yeah, I'm older than that. I can't remember a darn thing anymore.
Hold it, Carol.
Moving right along.
Yep. I have had an opportunity to take a look at IE7.
And?
Well, in all fairness, it is, their first beta. So, you know.
That was a defensive statement, wasn't it?
I'll say that up front. What I did was, speaking of VMware again, I made a clone of my XP install that I've got in VMware.
Yep.
And basically installed IE in that. And in case something blew up, I could just delete it and continue on with my regular install. I noticed that, which by anybody's shouldn't be surprised by this, but I had to patch up the machine or my VMware up to SP2. Or not, I'm sorry, the XP installation in my VMware box up to SP2, which, you know, is no small feat. You have to let it patch up for like an hour and a half to get everything you need. Got all that uninstalled. Now, the tabs work. However, they do look a little confusing. Like, you know, in your regular window, and I mean on Windows, not necessarily on a Mac, but you have the file, edit, view, the menu bar across the top.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's below everything. It's below the tabs, between the tabs and the page.
What?
And you know all the home and the back and forward buttons?
Yeah.
They're on the same level as that menu bar between the tabs and the page on one line. So
what the heck?
So the reason I say I find the tabs a little odd is because they seemed a little too detached from the page you're actually viewing, which is what I like about Firefox, is the tab actually looks like part of the page.
Now, you know, in most of the Microsoft apps, you can customize the interface to move those things around.
Right, and when I tried to do that, I cannot move them above the tabs or anything else. The address bar. The address bar is at the very top of the page.
Was some software designer standing on his head?
He must have been. Because actually, the address bar is like if you run Firefox in Mac, you know, the address bar is at the very top. Well, that's all well and fine, but it just looks out of place on, especially with the on Windows, with the file edit and view and everything's way below that. And the tabs, like I said, seemed split apart from the page, which I did not like. So,
who thought that one? Okay, early beta. Hey, we'll come back to this one later. Yeah. But
wait a minute. I do want to mention this as well. I played around a little bit with the RSS capabilities of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see any advantage other than you're able to view the XML data. You know, like in previous versions of Internet Explorer, you would hit an XML page, like an RSS feed or something, and it would look like, you know, a tree-structured data set.
If you were lucky. I think Firefox will do that. Otherwise, it just comes out as a string of spaghetti.
Yeah, sometimes it'll look okay. I mean, where you can collapse and everything. Well, I did dress that up and make it look readable, which is cool. So you can, you know, but when you bookmark it, it's really no different than bookmarking another page. It didn't really do anything with the XML data other than put a bookmark to it.
Oh.
So the only advantage I see the only thing I is really doing with it is just attaching a style sheet to this XML data.
I was going
to
say, does it honor style sheets if you hit a page that has one?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I pulled a FeedBurner, which has a nice style sheet attached to an XML, you know, anybody's XML.
Okay.
If you turn it on. And it looked like it's supposed to, but ones that did not, like Slashdot, I went there and their RSS feed looked like just structured data. And, you know, you can bookmark it, and I was like, great. I didn't see where it was doing anything with it other than just bookmarking it. I can pull it back up. You know, unlike in Firefox, if you bookmark it as a live bookmark, it's actually going to get the entries, and it'll look like a bunch of other bookmarks along there. It didn't do any of that.
Well, so, maybe they'll get there on Beta 2.
In all fairness, it's Beta 1, so we'll just go from there.
We'll come back and review it periodically.
This is Victor Cahill of the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com, and you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama. Say that three times real fast. Now back to Chuck.
We've just been joined by Greg Hawley, who was on a couple weeks ago. Welcome back, Greg.
Hi, Greg. Guys. Oh, it's that Greg thing all over again. Oh, my God.
Don't get me started. I'm not doing beer right now. It was just too much.
I'll drink for the both of us, Chuck.
We've invited Greg back to talk about how he made a Tungsten T3 into a podcatching client. Take us through what you've got for equipment and software and other stuff like that, but keep it G-rated.
Yeah. Well, I don't own an iPod. I'm probably the only civilized human being in North America that doesn't seem to have one, but I don't. And a couple years ago, I bought a Tungsten T3, which, except for podcasting, I would really go back to my 3X, because I think it does what it needs to do, and the T3 is overkill. But wanted to get your show and be able to listen to it while I'm driving into work, and kind of figured out, well, how can I go about doing that? And worked through what could only be described as complicated. Got Doppler off the web, which seems to be the client that people use on their PCs. I don't know, I've heard of other people using other things, but Doppler seems to fit the bill. Mm-hmm. And all that'll do is drop your files onto your hard drive someplace, and it doesn't answer the question of how you get them from your hard drive on your PC to your car.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, kind of thought about how I might get it to an SD card that's on my, you know, that goes into your T3. And from there, looked into XP briefcases, which are pretty cool. I think in the past, Microsoft had something like offline files under Windows 2000, but for this, briefcases seemed to work okay. I created one, and that allowed me to synchronize a couple of folders on my hard drive to the SD card without a lot of pain and hassle about worrying about what's on the SD card and that sort of thing. So from there, you can go, you've got the files that you've downloaded through Doppler synchronized from your PC to your SD card. You plop that in your T3 or whatever Palm client you've got, and with that point you can use whatever MP3 player you use on your T3 play it back into your car. Now, by happenstance, when I bought my last head unit, which isn't the one that's it's not the OEM one. I bought a JVC box. It had an input jack for something else, and it just so happens it takes in from a cable from Radio Shack. It'll allow you to plug your T3 into your car.
That's cool.
Nice. Yeah, now, what are you using for the listening client on the Palm?
I'm using Real One Player, and when I posted this, I've had some people come back and write me back, and other people have used other things. P-Tunes is one thing people have used. There was another application that I don't remember. Let's see here. What it was that was being used. But I think there are a number of them that you can go in and get. I just happen to use the one that's free that comes with your T3.
You know, I was playing around. I've got a pocket PC, and I've got a Dell Axum, and it's got an SD card and a compact flash card. And I was kind of doing the same thing you were doing at one point. I had Doppler radio dropping in on my files into, of course, a directory, but it would sync it up with Windows Media Player 10. Now, I'm not really a Windows Media Player fan, but I saw where you could tell it to sync up automatically, and it would keep in mind the size of your SD card, you know, when it was trying to figure out what would fit on there.
Yeah.
Does the briefcase do that too?
It I don't think it does. I've had to do that by hand. I've got other stuff on the SD card, so I kind of do a right-click or right-double-click Alt to get properties up. So you do file properties or whatever you're going to do to find the size of the SD card and the amount of space you have left, and kind of use that to judge what you've listened to and what you're going to delete and how much you can synchronize back to your SD card. It's kind of clunky in that sense because you don't have a 5-gig hard drive or whatever you have on your iPod. You really have to not only pick what you're going to listen to, but pick what you're going to get rid of to make room for it.
Mm-hmm.
But someone wrote back a kind of clever little comment, and being that, you know, this whole briefcase mentality with Windows perhaps is a little more heavy duty than what you need. Guy by the name of John, I don't remember what his last name was here. I don't have that up in front of me. He suggested using Xcopy in a DOS prompt using a little patch file. And the thing that I didn't know about until now, I guess you learn something new every day, is the M flag that goes along with Xcopy. Anybody care to guess what the M flag does?
More.
Make your bed.
Not even close.
Media.
I would have never guessed it, but it's copy everything that's new and then set the archive flag. And so what it does is basically looks for new things that don't have the archive flag set, copies them over, and then sets the archive flag.
Oh,
so what
cool.
you can do is go and put new things in this directory, and then you do the xcopy with the /m. It figures out what it needs to copy and makes the copy.
Tell everybody where they can find out more information, Greg, and we'll put a link in the show notes also.
Well, I'm going to give a crack at this. SBC is being, well, naughty to me, or I'm just not following the terms of agreements of my provider. But lately, I've had troubles. So if people have difficulties with this, I apologize. I'm working on fixing it. But the link would be holly.homeip.net/t3podcasting.html, with the T being capitalized.
Okay.
Maybe moving it to a different port, because I think SBC is not allowing port 80 traffic through to my.
I feel your pain.
Oh, they're dishing you?
Sometimes it happens. You know, it'll just all of a sudden go out for a couple of hours and then come back. And I've sat and done net sniffing and things like that, trying to figure out what's going on. I can get the DNS entry, but when I try to ping port 80, nothing comes through.
Hmm.
It's TCP dump on my web server shows no traffic coming in whatsoever.
Great.
Well, thanks for joining us, Greg. Sorry to kick you out. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Yeah, enjoyed it, man.
Account for. You're welcome, guys. No problem.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and you're listening to Chuck Chat.
Hi, this is Chuck Tomasi, and yes, you are.
Hi, this is Greg Stepp, and you're listening to me. Oh, yeah, Chuck.
Fun at Leo's expense. You can't get much better than that. Now, Greg, yeah, go
especially
ahead.
When he's not here to defend himself.
We'll have him on again real soon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, Greg was talking about how he uses his PDA, and Craig, give me a feel of what you do with your PDA. Tell me what you've got and what you do with it.
Yeah, I mentioned a little bit earlier when I was talking to Greg, I had a pocket PC. Actually, I've got a Dell Axum X50. I do not have the V model, the X50V, which in hindsight I kind of wish I'd gotten. The V stands for VGA, which the screen's a little clearer, and you get VGA resolutions on it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the regular X50 because I was looking to... I felt that battery performance is a little bit better, at least from what I've read, and that to me that was important. I want a good battery. I hate having a really nice screen, and what good is it going to do you if you can't use it for a while? So, anyway, my Dell Axum comes with Windows Mobile 2003. It has Windows Media Player 10 Mobile. It has a 520 megahertz processor. Or CPU, what's the difference? Has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, compact flash, and a secure digital slot. It's very thin, except for when I have the larger battery in place. And has a nice, very bright display. Some of the things I use my pocket PC for is MAME. I have MAME CE installed. And for the video games that I own, I have the ROMs on there. And I swap them out a little bit. And I've got things like Ms. Pac-Man or whatever. So I'm an old school arcade guy. So I swap those out every once in a while. Donkey Kong, you can play, but it's a little tough because the keys are a little small to try and play on. But anyway, you can get it done. I do use it for browsing, limited. Like I use blog lines from reading my RSS feeds, and they do have a mobile version of their site, so it's easy to read. And you have to go back and forth a few pages as you're reading, but you can still do it pretty easily on my pocket PC. Wi-Fi is actually pretty good on here, and it doesn't eat the battery too terribly much. I am trying to read some ebooks. I got a couple on there. I'm trying to find a suitable application for doing this. A couple of them that I play around with is Microsoft's Reader. It's nice, but it's limited to their lit, I guess it stands for literature book type, you know, file type. And there's the converter. You can take text files and convert it to lit. I haven't really done that part yet. I don't know. It's just kind of a turn off if you got only one format. However, there's another one called, and I'm going to say U-Book, but it has like one of those little funky U's like you use for electronic notation or something with a little, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a lowercase p, but it's a U.
Oh, a micro. Early. Yeah, that's a mu.
Oh.
It's a Greek letter mu.
Mu?
Mu.
I guess this means mu book.
Micro book. It's short for micro.
Micro book. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense then. It's a free reader. It actually, you can change the fonts and how it looks. Very nice. It's not too bad. Wasn't written for my screen, at least that's what it complains about when I first installed it. So letters look just a tad fuzzy, but you can change the fonts, and it actually is not bad. It does have reminder screens because it's free, but they want you to purchase it. So they kind of push you in that direction. I do use it for email with my Gmail accounts and our Outlook Exchange server or our Exchange server we have at work. With Exchange, it works very well. With Gmail, and actually getting the mail is no problem. But got to watch those settings about attachments, because I've sent an attachment. It went and downloaded the email, and you know it's a little too big. Start filling up your internal memory. Please delete. But it does do pretty good, and it's a great, great for viewing your digital pictures on, because it's got a really good screen. You can slap either your SD card or your compact flash and view your pictures right there. Oh yeah, and video. I have watched some video on there, which is nice. I downloaded some clips off the internet and watched them on the pocket PC.
Works pretty well.
Not while I was driving, but yes, it works very well.
Are you happy with it?
I am very happy with it. I wish the calendaring task thing was a little bit better, because you know I'm trying to work it into my getting things done program, you know, and it's not exactly written for that kind of a procedure, but it works really good. The one thing I do want for it, since it's got Bluetooth, I'd like to get one of those nice little Bluetooth GPS units, throw it in a backpack or something, and I can sit there and look at maps while I'm walking around.
Ooh.
That's my next geek wish.
Now, I am still a palm boy.
A palm boy.
A palm boy.
I like palms.
I started out way back on the, what was my first one? I think it was a 5. And then I had a 5X, and I've got a tungsten T3. I tend to hang on to my PDAs until they are dead, and gone. And if they're not dead, or if they're nearly dead, I put them on the shelf and they live forever in my museum. I've currently got a tungsten T3, which has an SD card in it, and I think it's got just, someone's going to kill me because these are, I don't have the specs in front of me. I believe it's 64 meg of RAM. I used to trick this thing out with a new launcher and a new date book, but you know what? The built-in apps have gotten a lot better, and I don't feel I need to even spend the $15 or $20 on the, the few features that the enhanced ones give me, so I've just gone back to the standard stuff. And you have fewer problems when you install fewer hacks or add-ons and things. It will do video. I have a little video here of my kids.
Well, that's cool.
Down in our hearts, we're talking about a deep body down in our hearts.
That's pretty cool.
Now, you don't... Anytime I'm feeling blue, I just pull that up and gets me cheered up again. I do carry That's around good. A few photos. We went to a family reunion this past weekend, so I have a few obligatory photos of the kids and whatnot. I also use it as my portable to-do list using Life Balance. I've reassigned the built-in to-do task list to Life Balance. And what else have I got on here? I don't know. It's just kind of my general purpose, everything. Oh, Pocket Quicken, which I use every day to enter receipts and things, and then just sync it up to Quicken on the machine. And my wife has all my records of terrible spendings, but I haven't put in my latest server hosting purchases yet. So I'm probably headed for the doghouse for August as well. However, if this decides to bite the big one, I've only had it since November, and I had to get it because my original tungsten tea bit the dust really hard. So I bought this one used off of my boss. But if I ever look again, I am seriously thinking of jumping the fence and going to Pocket PC.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if anything, for the Skype tricks that I pull on you.
Yeah. I want to find a Wi-Fi spot and start making Skype calls.
Yeah, because I've got Skype on this thing, and I've called Chuck a couple of times.
That was really weird, calling me from the grocery store.
Actually, I not only was the grocery store, but remember I started driving down the road.
Yeah, you almost got home, too.
Hey, Chuck, hold on a second before you move along.
Yep.
The speaker on this thing is is very good. I'm going to play a little clip on here and see if you can hear it. It's a geek thought, by the way. Let's see.
Why is it that I have to plug in my wireless router?
Can you hear that?
Yep.
It actually works really well for that kind of thing, especially, and Skype too. So
yeah, my speaker's a little tinny. I don't like the fact that it only records audio at 8K, but now that I'm a podcaster, I want better audio everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Who doesn't? Yes, let's move along.
All right. Get your own piece of the internet and save $5 along the way. Shop at GoDaddy.com and get a new domain name, transfer, or renewal for just $3.99 with each and every new domain product you buy. Choose from hosting, website builders, email accounts, and much more. Plus, take an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more simply by entering TECH1, that's T-E-C-H and the number 1, as your source code. So visit GoDaddy.com and save big.
It's Chuck Chat Technorama. Tech without BSOD.
Geek Thoughts.
Software and cathedrals are much the same. First we build them, then we pray.
He's got a point. On his head!
Yeah. Consume mass quantities.
We are from the planet Meepzorp.
Mimulac.
Remulac. Moons of Meepzorp. Sorry. See? You get old, you forget everything. Yeah. I think we're done.
Okay.
I've run out of show notes. I've run out of sweepers. We're done.
Oh, okay, bye.
Take us out.
All right, everybody. Brace yourselves. The listener line is 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. And you can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at www.chuckchat.com for Cafe Press and all the GIF and HTML goodness.
And we thank you for listening once again.
That's right.
Happy New Year if you're listening to this really late.
Really late.
Thank you for listening. And as always, we look forward to hearing from you. So don't hesitate to drop us an email. Take care, everybody. Binary high five.
101.
Everybody's got a fear of something.
Not everybody.
Sock puppets!